I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Kings, please. The book of 1 Kings. You all listened so well this morning and on into the afternoon. I won't try to be here before you long tonight, but I want to get a thought across. I believe our Lord is building on the thought this morning. And he's given me a thought. I think I mentioned this in passing this morning. As I went back and looked at it, the Lord kind of spoke to my heart, and I believe it'd be a good reinforcement for this morning's message. In 1 Kings chapter number 19, it has 21 verses. It reads as follows, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Let me comment just a little as we go. If you go back to chapter 18, you'll find the great victory at Mount Carmel. You remember when Elijah said, "How long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. And if Baal be God, then serve him." And there was a great victory when God sent the fire down. I said in our meeting a while ago to the men, wouldn't it be good when Brother Mitchell gets here if we're already in revival? If we're just in a spirit of revival and seeing people saved, seeing people blessed, and seeing people surrender to the will of God for their life. Here, Jezebel, Ahab tells her all that Elijah had done. Now, when's the last time you ever heard of a young lady naming her daughter Jezebel? We don't even name our dogs Jezebel. Somebody help me. Jezebel was a wicked woman. I said she was a wicked woman. Now, there may not be many women running around today whose name is Jezebel, but I'll tell you, there's still some wicked women on this earth. Solomon warned us about them in the book of Proverbs. Strange women. Amen. Watch this now. The word of God said, and with all, of course, Ahab was wicked as well, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Now this morning we preached on who you're going to listen to. Remember that? You know, Elijah's about to get in a little bit of trouble here because he's hearing well what Jezebel is saying. The Bible said, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Isn't it amazing how that one man with God can handle all the prophets of Baal, but one man with God can't handle one wicked woman? It's amazing, I said. But anyway, let's read on. And he arose, went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree. He requested for himself that he might die. And he said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. In verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." He arose and did eat, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, "What dost thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rock before the Lord. You know, we read this, and I'm not sure we get a hold of this. Have you ever been in the mountains where there's these great big rocks? I used to hunt in a place where there was just a little passageway, Brother Ralph, between two great big sets of rocks. It was a great place to hunt because there wasn't a deer ever been born that could go across them rocks. They're not goats. They had to go through that gap. And it was kind of an ambush place where I like to hunt and ambush them. I mean, turkeys come through there, deer, coyotes, bobcats, everything want to get across that mountain, come through that gap. Here the Bible said the wind was breaking the rocks. You think about that for just a moment. The power. Notice this now. The Bible said the strong wind rent the mountains, break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it. He heard the still, small voice of God. It was so that when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle. And he went out and he stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what dost thou here, Elijah? You understand that the same words were repeated. God don't change his mind if he's got something to say. Help me. And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi thou shalt anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehalah, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. Him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Look at verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, he with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him, cast his mantle upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah, and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, took a yoke of oxen and slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. If correctly read, that's chapter 19 of the book of 1 Kings. And I'd like to preach tonight on this subject, three keys to hearing from heaven. Three keys to hearing from heaven. Help me and pray for me, please. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd make it real in our hearts and in our ears tonight. Help us not to be hearers only of the word of God, but to be doers of the word of God this evening. Father, I pray that you'd clothe us in our calling. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I read a story about a man that went to the doctor and he was concerned. He was concerned because he thought that his wife may be ignoring him. And he didn't know for sure if his wife had just put him on the ignore list or if his wife maybe was a little hard of hearing or something like that. So the doctor said, I'll tell you how you can find out. He said, start at about 40 feet And he said in a normal tone of voice, he said, just say something to her. Said if she doesn't respond, then move up to 30 feet. If she still doesn't respond, move up to 20 feet. If she still doesn't respond, move up to 10 feet. And so he said, I'll just try that. So at 40 feet, he said to his wife, what are we having for dinner, honey? No response. He moved up to 30 feet and said, what are we having for dinner, honey? No response. He moved up for 20 feet to 20 feet, said, what are we having for dinner, honey? No response. He moved up for 10 feet and he said, what are we having for dinner, honey? There was no response. He leaned right up over her shoulder and said, what are we having for dinner, honey? She said, for the fifth time, chicken and dumplings. You say, preacher, why did you start with that? Here's why. Because if we're not hearing from heaven, what we're usually going to do is blame it on something or somebody else. When the problem is not something or somebody else, but it's ourselves. It's us that has the problem if we're not hearing from heaven. I'd ask you a question tonight. When's the last time you heard from heaven? I'm not talking about in a service where God met with us. I'm talking about when's the last time you as an individual know that in that still small voice, Brother Thurman, your Savior spoke to you. How many believes that's the way He wants it? Amen. He wants it to be personal. He wants it to be real. Let me share with you tonight three keys in hearing from heaven. And I'll try not to be too long. I just looked at the clock. I should never mention time when it comes to preaching. Amen. Three keys to hearing from heaven. Number one, stillness. Stillness. Elijah, Brother Preston, when he was running down off of that mountain, that wasn't when he was hearing from heaven. He had to get still. And then God, in that still small voice, spoke. He said, preacher, I don't know why you would mention that, because I don't know how much you are like me or I'm like you, but one of the hardest things in my life to do is to be still. Maybe we would hear from heaven more often if we would learn to be still and know that He is God. Beloved, Elijah is a prophet of God. Elijah is a man of God. Elijah's got things to do. He's got people to see, people to slay. Amen. He's got victories to win. But Elijah heard from heaven when Elijah ran out of gas. And when Elijah got to that place where he was still. By the way, if you'll notice in the chapter tonight, beloved, you're not reading the rest of this chapter if God in His mercy and in His grace hadn't come to where Elijah was. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, listen, when we hear from heaven, God ought to get all the glory. God ought to get the glory when we hear from heaven. Beloved, God showed up that day. And by the way, I love the word again in this chapter. Amen. Listen, he come to him, he touched him, he spoke to him, he fed him. And then he came again. Elijah laid back down. Elijah was wore out. Beloved, if ever there's a time in our life when we need to hear from heaven, it's when we get wore out. Well, preacher got up. He's a young preacher. He is ready to go. He got in a big way preaching. Brother Adam, he said, I'd rather wear out than rust out. That sounds real good. He sat down alongside an old man of God on the front bench. And when he got done preaching, what the old preacher leaned over and said is, son, what you need to remember is, either way, you're out. That's what the devil wants to do. He don't care if we wear out. He don't care if we rust out. He just wants us out. And Elijah would have been out had he not heard from heaven. Stillness. It's absolutely necessary. The Bible said in Psalm 4:4, stand in awe, sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Ruth 3:18. Here's what was said to Ruth by Naomi. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day. In Psalm 23:2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. Honey, I tell you, the sheep don't like that rushing water. They like that still water. And I tell you, we can have revival. We can have personal revival. We can have a church-wide revival if we would just learn to be still and know that He is God. Beloved, listen, I believe with all my heart, one of the keys to hearing from heaven is being still. You remember where they found Mary? Martha ran out there. Lazarus had died. Martha ran out there to meet Jesus. Jesus told them to go get Mary. They came in the house, and the Bible said, they said, the Master has come and calleth for thee. What was Mary doing? Listen to what the Word of God said right here in John chapter 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. You remember another time when Martha said, Lord, bid her to help me. She was cumbered about with much serving. Jesus, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Jesus said, Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I'm telling you tonight, friend of mine, listen, we can have revival, but I tell you where it'll come. It'll come when we get this blessed old book and we get still before God and let God speak to every one of us. Amen. And just get alone with God and spend some time with God and be still. I believe God will help us to hear from heaven. Be still. Number one, a key in hearing from heaven is stillness. Number two is seriousness. You see, I believe some people are just not serious about hearing from heaven. Beloved, listen. Listen to me carefully. Think about this in your own life. How hard is it to lay that down somewhere? How hard is it to ride in a vehicle without the radio playing? How hard is it to be in the home without a television on or without something going on? How many knows what I'm talking about? Honey, I'm telling you, the devil is an expert at what he's doing. He don't care to use the good things in life that God has blessed us with to keep us from the best thing in life, and that's spending time with Jesus and hearing from heaven. Seriousness. We need to be serious. Brother John was talking this morning. I think, Brother John, you was talking about being cheated of our joy. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe we'd have more joy if we'd be still and take seriously our time. Listen to me. Listen to me carefully. Years ago, I was with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. I sat down with Brother Napper. He needed help in the Northeast, and we support Brother Napper now. And Brother Napper's a good man. He's a great man. He's God's man. There's no doubt in my mind that he loves the Lord. He loves the men in prison. He loves the work. We sat down, and I talked to him, and I said, Brother Napper, I said, they've got me in the Southeast. I said, I might be in Florida 1 week, Brother Steve, Missouri the next week, back to Alabama the week. It was crazy. It was like a ping pong ball. Bing, 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 bing. I was spending my life on the road just trying to get to prison and get home a day or two, get back to another prison. I said, Brother Napper, if I come up here and help you, what I'd like to do is leave home for a couple of weeks, come up here and work in the prisons, and then go home for a couple of weeks, get my work caught up at home, spend some time with my wife and my children and my family, and then come back for a couple of weeks. He said, that sounds good to me. So I booked the prisons back to back to back. And gave enough time in between to travel between the prisons in Pennsylvania and Delaware. One day we were sitting down going over the schedule. I remember where it was. It was at Calvary Baptist Church in, I forgot the name of the town. I know the church, I can think of the town or see the town in my mind, see the church in my mind. Huntington, Virginia. Not Huntington, West Virginia, but Huntington, Virginia, Pennsylvania. That's where we were. Sat down, went over the schedule. And I looked at the schedule and I said, Brother Napper, I turned it around, Brother Houston, slid it back across the table. I said, that ain't going to work. He said, what do you mean it ain't going to work? I said, you've got me away from home 3 weeks in April. I said, I told you to. I said, I'll give the ministry 2 weeks out of the month. I said, I'm not giving the ministry 3 weeks out of the month. I said, if I don't have my family, I don't have a ministry. What are you trying to say, preacher? It was important to me that I spent time with my precious wife and my children. And I tell you, we need to get serious as God's children that it's important that we spend time with our Lord. And when we do that, God will bless that. He'll bless it. He'll bless it. He'll bless it. Brother Napper said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to adjust. Amen. Make some adjustments. And we did. And I tell you, God blessed us. God helped Miss Eve and I. I tell you, by the time I'd been with her for 2 weeks, I was looking forward to getting back in prison. Is she doing okay over there? By the time I'd been with them prisoners for 2 weeks, I was looking forward to getting back with them. With my wife and my children. I had a song, Brother Thurman, that I'd sing on the last day of the meeting. Soon and very soon, I'm going to see the Queen. Glory to God. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? What is it that you trade for your time to be still and be with God? Seriousness. We need to take it seriously. A lot of people had trouble in the home because they don't take it seriously. Help me. They don't take it seriously. A lot of times we had trouble in the churches because they don't take it seriously. A lot of times we have trouble in our lives because we don't take it seriously. You say, preacher, what do you mean the seriousness? Well, according to verse 3 and verse number 14, it was a matter of life and death. Look at it right here. When he saw these things, the Bible said, that he arose and went for his life. He went for his life. In verse number 14, the word of God said, I've been very jealous. He said, I only left and they seek my life to take it away. He said, preacher, there ain't nobody after my life. Where have you been? There is somebody after your life. There is somebody after your testimony. There is somebody after your home. There is somebody after our church. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said, beloved, listen, we need to be serious and take it seriously. The Bible said in Romans 12:3, I say through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. What's that mean? Seriously. According as God hath dealt to every man that measure of faith. Beloved, the Bible said here, my friend, listen, in 1 Kings 19:7, the angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. I'll tell you something right now. Your home, men, is too great for you to handle by yourself. This church is too great for me to handle by myself. We need help from God. It's too great. We need to take it seriously. If we do, we'll hear from heaven. Amen. We need to be serious about the journey, the present journey, the future journey. Think about what's not going to happen. I'll tell you what's not going to happen unless Elijah hears from heaven. Elisha's not going to happen. Think about that. Think about that for just a minute. Victory's not going to happen. One man heard from heaven, and it made a difference in a whole nation. I'm just glad for the work of Elisha. I get them confused sometimes when I'm preaching. I say Elisha when I should say Elijah, and vice versa. But I'll tell you something right now. They were two men that God used in a great way. Amen. The seriousness. Serious about the journey. Serious about the enemy. We must hear from heaven. He said, preacher, what do you mean the enemy? How about this? Be sober, serious, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Two keys so far and hear from heaven. Number one, stillness. Number two, seriousness. I'll tell you what happens sometimes. Listen to me carefully. I'm not saying this in a derogatory manner. It's just a fact of life. When one of our loved ones is laying there in the hospital, the nights get long. How many knows we get more serious, don't we? You want to know why we're more serious? Because we're more still, probably, than we've ever been in a long time. And God wants us to understand the stillness is necessary. We must take it seriously. The seriousness is necessary. Let me give you the third thing tonight, and I'll close my Bible and we'll go to the house. The third thing that God spoke to my heart about is steadfastness. Some people give up, Brother Lance, too quick. Just before they would hear from heaven, they throw in the towel. Steadfastness. You say, preacher, I don't understand where you see that in the Bible. Let me help you show you what God showed me here. When we hear from heaven, we understand we're not the only one serving God. There's 7,000 men that Elijah didn't know about. Brother John, I appreciate what you say about the churches, sister churches, churches that are preaching the truth. About every time you get up to teach Sunday school, Brother John will say something like this: we need to pray for the churches and the pastors that's preaching the truth. Honey, if you think we're in this by ourselves, you're crazy. We're not the only church in Bloomingdale that's preaching the truth. Say amen. We're not the only church in Kingsport that's preaching the truth. And I tell you what the devil likes to do, and when you hear his voice, he'll back you up in the corner and say, there ain't nobody else interested in serving God. He's a liar and the father of a lie. That's what he did to Elijah. But God came by, and the voice that matters says, hey, buddy, there's some people out there steadfast. It's going on in the work of God. Steadfastness. We need to see faithfulness in the services. We need to see faithfulness to the scripture. We need to see faithfulness as a servant. When we're steadfast, it'll help us. The Bible said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If God said, Brother Steve, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, what's the devil going to say? He whispers, it's all in vain. It's all in vain. It's all in vain. Brother Lance and I have talked about our teenagers, our young people. One of the things that we desire, he and I both, is to get our young people in some of these meetings where teenagers are gathering from all over America so they can understand they're not the only ones in the world that have a Bible and love a Bible and have a church and love a church, that have the Lord in their life and love the Lord in their life, so that they can understand. Beloved, sometimes we get off in our little corner like Elijah did, and if we don't hear from heaven, we'll be deceived into thinking we're the only ones. Steadfastness. Steadfastness. Turn with me to 2 Kings for just a moment. Look at the servant Elijah. Elisha. As he follows the man of God, Elijah. This is one of my favorite portions of scripture. 2 Kings chapter number 1. Excuse me, chapter number 2. Verse number 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. You talk about steadfastness. Just stay with me just a minute. So they went down to Bethel. Bethel's the house of bread, the house of God. Look at verse 3. And the sons of the prophets were that were at Bethel, they came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he said, look at the steadfastness of the servant. "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. Verse number 5. And the sons of the prophets that were Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." But watch this now. And they too went on. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to read a little bit more. You know what I would like to be said of me and Jesus? They too went on. They went on, Brother Ralph. They didn't quit. They were steadfast. He learned to be still. He learned the seriousness of hearing from heaven. Let me tell you something right now. You want to know how to pray for this preacher? Pray that God will help him to hear from heaven. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. I ain't got nothing to say to you all if I don't hear from him. I mean, he knows that's the truth. Need to hear from heaven. God will be on time every time. He'll be on target every time. Watch this. And the word of God said here, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went, and they stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle, and he wrapped it together, and he smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. How many believes Elisha's eyes kind of got a little bit bigger right there? Whoa! Did you see that? Glory to God, the man of God took his mantle, smote the river. Boom. They didn't ford the river. They went over on dry ground. That's what the word of God said. You say, "Preacher, you believe that?" I sure do. And the Bible said in verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, "What shall I do for thee before I be taken away from thee?" And Elisha said, "I pray thee," glory to God. I said, hallelujah. Somebody heard from heaven, and somebody's about to get a double portion because of it. He said, "Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Now there's going to be a key. You see, I believe that God is the God of grace, but I do believe that God of grace gives you and I some responsibility in the matter. Elijah said to Elisha, watch it right here. Watch it right here. And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." Let me tell you something. Elisha is not even standing right here to make the request unless Elisha is steadfast with God. He's fixing to hear from heaven because he's steadfast. We give up too easy. We want to get in a prayer closet and hear from God in 5 minutes. "God, you've got 5 minutes. If you don't speak to me, I'm done. I'm out of here. I got too many things to do." Somebody said one time, said, "I can't afford to spend that much time in prayer." Another preacher said, "I can't afford not to." I believe with all my heart, we can see a move of God. It'll start with one believer at a time saying, "Lord, I don't want to be cheated out of hearing from heaven. I want to hear from glory. I want to hear from heaven." You see, let me just say this to you. We're not the Catholic Church, are we? We don't believe that God only speaks to the preacher, do we? We're to the priest. Say amen. How many believes that through the blessed Holy Spirit that lives in every believer, that book can speak to your heart? That's exactly right. Watch this now. The word of God said here, And it came to pass as they still went on. I like that. Still went on. Steadfastness. And talked. That behold, there appeared a chariot of fire. And horses of fire. And parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. I remember a preacher preaching in a big way. He got real excited when he was preaching on that. He said, y'all remember when God took Elijah up into heaven in a cherry chariot? I remember hearing the Bible, God took Elijah up to heaven. But there was a mantle, Brother Steve. Brother Dennis Dunn and myself were talking this morning, and I know surely y'all have missed Brother Dennis and Miss Jean, but Brother Dennis is filling in for a church over in the Boones Creek area. It's not, as far as number goes, a real large church, but I don't like talking about little churches and big churches, because two or three with Jesus is bigger than 2,000 or 3,000 without Him. Amen. Not always about the crowd. Brother Dennis and I were talking about the church at Buffalo Ridge and how that Brother Gene, Brother Steve had a man to succeed in there, to pick up the mantle and go on. We were talking, Sister Jerry, the first part of the conversation was about the funeral yesterday, and I was telling him what a great job Brother Phil did, that he presented the gospel, that he comforted the family, and yet he challenged the family. Get yourself in the house of God. Get yourself in church. I thought he did a tremendous job. And that's the way the conversation started, how that Brother Joe Bird, he said, his words were, he handpicked him to succeed him there in the church. I'm going to tell you something right now. Without steadfastness, there's nobody to pass the mantle on to. And there's nobody to pass the mantle. Here in the Word of God, if you see it right here with me, verse 12, Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horseman thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. He took off also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. I like this, Brother Steve. He's going to find out whether God answered his prayer or not. He's going to find out whether Elijah told him the truth or not. He said, if you're with me and you see me leave, I'll grant that double portion to be on you. Watch this now. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. I just want to say this tonight in closing. Listen to me. I believe this would be a good way to close it out. Holy Spirit's leading right here. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I tell you where he still is. In that still, small voice. We need to get along with him. We need to talk to him. But don't forget, we need to let him talk to us. That Bible is God's Word. And if we'll read it, He'll speak to us in that Bible. How many believes that? I believe with all my heart, if you'll walk with Him. Sister Theresa, that old song said, He walks with me, He talks with me. I believe you can be riding down the road and He'll speak to you. How many believes that? I really believe the Lord spoke to Miss Eve and me yesterday. Did I say that right? I believe I did. Glory to God, I get one right every once in a while. The Lord spoke to us yesterday, that man walking down the road. I don't know about you, Brother Thurman, it thrills me when I know that I've been sensitive to his voice. But who was it? Brother John, will you teach it on the judgment seat of Christ this morning? I'm going to give an account, Brother John, for every time that I was running through this world so fast, wide open, that I didn't hear the voice of God when he was saying, turn in here, or turn in here, or do this, or do that, or stop doing this, or stop doing that. How many knows what I just said? Beloved, there's keys. Three of them in that chapter the Lord spoke to my heart about. What was the first one? Y'all ain't supposed to forget it until you get out of here at least. What was the first one? Stillness. What was the second one? We got to take